75 years ago, my 18-year-old mom with Brother Gordon, Sister Caroline, Sister Greetly, some of you remember her, and Al Horn, that maybe a few of you may remember, I don't even know, with Al Horn at the wheel of an old car, headed for this place to clean it up, to open it for the season. It had just been purchased, and it needed cleaning. So I called my mom, I know this story, and I called my mom this afternoon. She's now 93. She lives in Pennsylvania in an assisted living facility. And I said, Mom, tell me a little bit about that trip. And she has a good memory. And she said, the trip was long, very long, because they only could take local roads. And Brother Gordon, with an interest in history and everything, decided that they should stop along the way and visit places since you're on local roads. My mother doesn't remember all the places they visited except for one, which sounded unusual to me, but I believe my mother because she has a good memory. They stopped at the Smith Brothers cough drop place. And I don't know what you would see there, but there was something to see there and they saw it. Well, the day was getting dark, so they couldn't make it all the way up here. So they stopped at Warrensburg for the night and then continued early the next morning to start their job cleaning this place. And when they arrived here, it was called Camp Watch Rock. And I was so happy to see that sign in the boathouse, what it was originally called. And they had a big job ahead of them. They had to dump the playing cards, the poker chips, bottles and bottles of liquor, and straighten this whole place out to make it so they can receive the guests and the campers. And I don't know who all came that first year, but I know they had a large task ahead of them to clean this place up. And then the campers, guests arrived, and 75 years later, it's still happening. And that's just a wonderful thing. But I asked my mom, okay, that's great. It's a nice little story about the beginning of camp, but what was precious to you? And she said the thing that was most precious to her were the children and the families. And that's what's precious to me too. We have a history here. You all do. If you've just started your history here, it's going to go on. If you've had a history here, you understand what I mean, and it will continue. My history was that I gave my heart to Jesus in the cottage. I went to the village, and I developed a relationship with Christ there. A lot of you can say that, right? I worked here as a waitress, as a housekeeper. I was fed by Brother Gordon, by his teaching here, and by those that were older than me. They had so much to teach me, and I took that in. I soaked it up. Same thing that's happening here to this day, 75 years later. And then I had a family. I sent them here, and it started all over again. And you know what I mean. This is what's going to happen. Some of the cottagers, of course, you all know that I've had the cottage for, 20 some odd years here. And I've seen some of the cottagers grow up, have children, and I've had the children of some of the cottagers that I've had. I'm embarrassed to say that I'm that old. Don't count any years. And I just want to say, it continues. There's a verse in Psalm 16. It says, the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. This is a really pleasant place, isn't it? We have the mountains, the clean air. It's beautiful. We love each other here. The atmosphere is amazing. The food is great. The service is great, too. Thank you so very much. But the next line, indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. In King James, I think it says a goodly heritage. You can have as much money in the world and give it to your kids, but that's worth nothing as we've heard. It's dung. This is what's precious. This is what's valuable. I love seeing the children here. I miss the children that I would have had this year. But it continues. The heritage that we're giving to our children is knowing Jesus. And in this place, this very special place, yes, it's not the ritziest place. We don't have gourmet food. We don't have the greatest activities here, but we have Jesus.
That's right.
And that's the main thing, because you know that whenever you come to Pilgrim Camp, you know one thing. You will meet Jesus here in a way that you can't meet him anywhere else. I'm so thankful for that, and that's what thrills me. That's what brings me back every year. I know that's what brings you back here every year, and it will continue. Praise God for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus.
All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is Lord and life to me.
So, I don't know that I'm comfortable standing up here. I have been here, like many of you that we've heard from this weekend, for a lot of years. I think I was about 4 months old when we first came, and I don't think I've missed a season since. And I started as a camper at 6 years old with Sister Antia and the Schneiders, and my parents would send me for a month, apparently, because I liked it so much. They just kept sending me back. And I'm sure it's just because I liked it so much and not because I was gone for a month. I started on staff at 15, and I've just had such a privilege to sit under so many amazing teachers and ministers. And you know, I had, as a staff member, I had opportunity to come for the majority of my summers. I'd be here and I'd sit under Brother Edwin and Brother Eddie and Sister Grace and Brother Jim and Brother Keith and Brother Jonathan and Brother Phil and Brother Gordon and Sister Martha, and just so many amazing, godly people that have just taught me and blessed my life. And there has been much that I have learned here, practical and spiritual. Sometimes I speak to people about camp or even just about things in life, and I realize, where did I learn these things? Where did I learn manners? Where did I learn to fold a fitted sheet? Where did I learn how to eat everything on the table? All of that was from Sister Antia. And there's so much here that I've learned here that I realize people outside of this place don't get to learn, even just very practical things. But this has been a place of real spiritual growth for me as well. You know, I have learned, and don't get me wrong, my parents have taught me all of those things as well, and the spiritual things as well. But this has been a place where the Lord has really met me. And I was just thinking of as Liv shared, I was thinking about this before, and I said, no, I'm not going to share that. And then she shared her testimony, and I said, okay, maybe I'll share it. It's not a big thing, but I had once been to some type of retreat or conference or something, and they used the analogy of us as Christians being a leaky bucket, right? And that daily we seek the Lord and we read scripture, and the Lord fills up our bucket, the Spirit fills us up, and we're supposed to be leaky, right? We leak all over everything, and we share that with other people, and so daily we have to fill that up. But that analogy
while very good for me, was a little, I always felt that my leaky bucket was a little different. I felt like it was just this big bucket that I come to camp once here and he fills it all the way up. And daily I get more, I do get more daily, but like this, there's something here that just, so like last year was very hard for me. Like we've heard, it threw off my whole schedule. My whole rhythm of last year was off, aside from everything else that was off with 2020. But, you know, it just, I come here and it fills me. And so this week has been extra special to finally be back here. But there's something very special, and growing up, you know, we would drive up and we always had one, well, it was a cassette tape and now it's a, I don't know what you call them now, a playlist that we always listened to, and there was an excitement and you know, looking forward to finally being here and, you know, being with our friends and being in the village or doing whatever it was we were excited for. But then the second we pulled onto the grounds, there's a shift. You can feel it in the atmosphere that Jesus is just here. And so as exciting as it was to be with my friends and to swim and to do all the many things that we do while we're here, Jesus was always faithful to meet me. And I was thinking of a verse that I've heard a lot here. And as I searched my Bible, my bookmark from 2016 fell out. And it was the verse I was looking for. And that was from our 70th anniversary. Which was, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's from Hebrews 13. And that has been something that has stuck with me over the years. You know, I think of our ministers, the ones that I've sat under specifically and heard stories of so many of the others that I never got to meet. My grandfather, Brother Gordon, the Collises, so many that I never got to know, but that their legacy lives on here. And so I got to learn still from them, from recordings and books and devotionals and all kinds of things. But I think back to some that are gone, like my grandmother and Brother Eddie and Brother Edwin and Sister Martha, Sister Grace and Brother Jim. So many that I look back on that... there have been many times that I thought, I just want to be like them. I always thought of Sister Grace. I just want to be like her. She's so full of joy and she knows how to correct in love. Like she knew how to correct you with love. Like you were like, oh no, I'm in trouble, but she loves me still. So it's okay. You knew it. And, you know, or even like Brother Eddie, every time I saw him, he made me feel like I was his best friend in the world. I was just like, man, he remembers me every time. And, you know, just, but I've thought over the years, I want to love Jesus the way they love Jesus. I want to be filled with the Spirit the way that they're filled with the Spirit. And this verse says, consider their outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And Jesus spoke to me one time as I sat here and I thought of them and said, I want to be like that. And Jesus said, no, you want to be like me. They tried to be like me and you want to be like me. You don't want to be like them. And that's still great. They are good, godly people to imitate. But the goal is to be like Jesus. And a couple years ago, I had the privilege to be here and work for the minister's retreat. When my dad told me that time that I was... You know, the staff was not invited to all the meetings. Some of them were very specific for the ministers, and I think that's great, but I was a little disappointed. I was like, man, I want to be in there. I want to hear what God's telling them. I want to be part of that. I want to glean from what they get. I said, even if I can get a little piece of what they get, I would be satisfied. And I got to sit in on a meeting. And Brother Ernie got up, who I've never been here during third period, so I never got to sit under him here. And he shared the verse that says, man, I'm sorry, my brain is all over the place, but that God will give us more than we could ever think or ask or imagine. And God spoke to me in that moment in a way that he never had before. And he said, ask for me. And I often came to camp asking for God, give me direction, give me guidance, tell me what school to go to, tell me what spouse to have, tell me all kinds of things. And those things are good to ask for, but I was asking wrong. Jesus said, ask for me. He said, seek me and you will find me. And I did. And he has always been faithful to meet me here. And so no matter how life hard, how hard life gets, how difficult the challenges are at home, I know that I can come here and he will fill my cup to overflowing. And so I am very thankful for the legacy that our ministers have left behind, and that the God of our previous ministers, that the God of 75 years ago that was faithful here, is still the same God that is faithful today.
I started off in the winter program up here. 1978, June 1st, 1978, I arrived at Pilgrim Camp. Got lost the first, I missed that turn, you know. No one told me how to make a turn, go all the way up the mountain, go all the way back, make a phone call. Brother Mike was running out to meet me. So I got here. And funny thing about my initiation to camp, my brother had come here for a prayer retreat. I think that's too... He said to, I was really into natural photography, photographing animals and landscapes and things like that. And he said, go to camp. You're going to love it. It's got all these animals, you know, and stuff. And I was at the live animals, not to, you know. But he was just trying to get me here because he was inspired about being here. And I said to him, you know, I missed this retreat, I missed that retreat. I said, if I ever go there, I'll probably stay. Yeah. I guess I'm a prophet. Here I am. No matter how much they try to get rid of me, they can't get rid of me. Anyhow, it's been a great privilege. I want to begin with the privilege of having been here in the winter program. Those years, it was 5.5 years, were years of really finding the Lord. Work was a blessing or fun to me. I just love work. But being taught to seek the Lord and finding the Lord and being filled with the Lord was the experience that I had those years. People thought I was smart because I would answer Brother Gordon's questions. Well, sure, after 3 years of sitting under his ministry, I knew what he was going to say. So fooled him. Anyhow, but, not Brother Gordon, but the one that thought I was smart. But they learned later, better than that. So it was a wonderful, rich time. That winter program cannot be... I cannot say how thankful I am adequately, because God did so much for me. I was only saved a year, and they received me into the program, but I was hungry, and I really wanted the things of God. I remember the first meeting, I got up and gave a testimony how grateful I am. Well, it couldn't have been the first meeting, because my testimony was, I'm so glad that we have these meetings every morning. I was just hungry for God. And God never disappointed me. Those years were wonderful years of finding the Lord. I had experience through the winter sometimes where I felt led to read this wonderful book called Radiant Glory, which was written by Brother Gardner. And I wasn't reading it through. I was reading it as I was led to read it, so to speak. And there were times when I read about waiting on God, one of the topics was. And so after I read that chapter, I spent time waiting on God. I got before the Lord and just sat in his presence, and his presence would come. And he does marvelous things, filling us with his presence. That's our enablement to overcome. It's Christ in you. We sing that in that song. So men today have found the Savior able. They could not, or we could not, conquer passions, lusts, and sins. our broken hearts, left us sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt himself within. And that's wherein we receive the Lord, as we spend time at his feet. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen, he says. I will be exalted in the earth. He's victorious, but we have to give him time. We have to seek his face, and he fills us. He will not. Throughout my Christian life, every time I kneel in prayer, it was always the Lord drawing near. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. And that's what the winter program was like. But back to reading that chapter in Radiant Glory, after having read it and then experienced it, in the morning worship, Brother Gardner would talk about it. It was like, wow, God is really, really has this program all scheduled here. And he was, it was just marvelous, like a real jaw dropper, so to speak, you know. I can't believe is he listening? Is he watching me? You know, and it just shows you how the Lord was in control and leading everyone in the same realm. And that was a real time of transformation in that winter program. I can't speak highly enough of it. It was a great privilege. Sister Caroline was very loving to me and motherly to me. She felt strongly or motherly toward me, because she knew I didn't have a mother growing up. My mom died when I was 4. And I'm not looking for sympathy. I'll take it, though. But, it was just so sweet to see her take that personal interest. And that's the way she was. And it was very nurturing in the things of the Lord. And then I left in 84 and felt led to go down and work in the Richwood. And then after that, I went to Williamsburg. And in 1990, I was asked to come back. When I was in Williamsburg, I would come up occasionally and work here. And even when I was in the Faith Home, I'd come up and put the dock up or work on grounds. So one day I came and I said to Brother Bob, "It's next year I want to put the dock up. Just wanted to see it up to my satisfaction." And so I stirred up a group of guys. And from Williamsburg and Ridgewood, they came, and we had a lot of fun, and we did a lot of hard work putting the dock in. But those men followed me. 91, I came up to be the caretaker, and they continued to come every year to help me with that dock. And it's over 30 years now that they've done that, and it's been such a blessing. And throughout the years, this is not a one-man show here, especially in the maintenance area or the natural area preparation. So many have been so faithful and to come and to help and to lift the hand, so to speak, of all that needed to be done. And I'm so grateful for that. And I remember one time I'm grateful also for the godly men. That were examples here and inspiration. I was looking at the portrait of Brother Wanamaker up there, and I just saw it, and I said, "No, Brother Keith drew that." And from a copied it from a Bread of Life magazine, and then I remembered an instance when he was here on a Labor Day retreat that first year I was here, and he was in the dining hall. And he got up, and he was shuffling. He was close to 90, if not in his 90s. And he's shuffling through the dining room, and he turned to each table and say, "God bless you. God bless you." And when he came to past our table, and he said, "God bless you," I felt the presence of God just come. He brought, his words had the blessing of God in them. And that's the emphasis of life at camp, to become a person who knows the Lord and experiences God, so that we can go out and be that salt of the earth and be that light of the world to others. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for Christ. And Christ is the one, he shines in our lives as we dwell in him, as we walk in him, with him, and seek his face and are filled with him. The other thing is, I just want to say I'm so thankful for the privilege of being here to serve the Lord and to prepare the camp. I grew up in Brooklyn. Came here at the age of 21, I guess. And I lived in the midst of industry, factories, and an apartment. Came here, this was like, wow. You know, I mean, I knew it a lot. I love camping. My brother used to take me camping. I knew the country and the woods and the mountains and everything. But fancy houses, I never knew a fancy house, you know, anything like that. And so here God brings me to this place where everything's so nice. And but the point I'm bringing out is he has given me the privilege, which I'm so grateful for, of preparing this place for everyone to come. When the kids weren't here last summer, I missed them. We're preparing for them on a large part, as well as everyone else. I was once, years ago, I went to look for my friend in the Boy Scout camp. Their camp had closed about 2 weeks earlier than ours, and so I went to see where he was. I was searching around the grounds. They got 1,000 acres over there, and I went to this place where there was this field, and there was a couple deer out in the field, and it was so peaceful. And I said, this is beautiful. It's just... And then I came back to camp. I didn't find them. And then 2 weeks later, our kids left. And I went up to the village, and the kids weren't there. And I started to cry. I missed them. That's what we're here for. For those precious children to find Jesus. And that's what I'm so thankful for camp. May God always keep this camp a place where people could come and find Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. I want to sing hymn number 18. Brother Paul, I don't know if you want to say anything before we do that.
I'll say something. Briefly. Brother Tom hit on something that is very real to me, and that is the number of people, the great number of people who love camp and who give themselves to camp. That is such a blessing to me when I go into a room where there's a staff gathering and I know everyone in that room has camp on their heart. And I'm very thankful for that. For some of you who may not know the history of camp, it began in 1946, which brings us to 75 years, of course. And it started out by Uncle Hans, the founder of this fellowship, suggesting to two Sunday school teachers that they take their boys up to Lake George for during the summer for a couple of weeks. It was during the war. And so they were able to rent cabins on Lake George very, very, very inexpensively. Lake George is quite a tony area. Right now, you can't touch property on the lake for, you know, a couple of million dollars, less than a couple of million dollars. But as I said, it was during the war, and so they could rent cabins very, very cheaply. And for several years before 1946, Brother Gordon Gardner and Charles Andrews took their boys up to Lake George. So the war ends, and things start popping again at Lake George, and the prices were outrageous. And so in 1946, or a little before 1946, they began to look for property on Lake George. Of course, they quickly beat a hasty retreat from Lake George. It was so expensive. And the real estate guy said, there's a place up a little further north on Brant Lake that is available. And so anyway, they traipsed up here. and they found this place. This place had been owned by a very, very wealthy Jewish traveler. The reason I say that is because this room, as was alluded to, was full of different weapons and Hindu incense machine censers, and a lot of Indian, more Indian stuff than you see, a lot of which was donated to the Indian Museum. Brother Gordon didn't want any of that that evil stuff in here. He was very happy to get rid of that. At any rate, there were 16 buildings on the property. You're in one of the buildings is here. Two of the buildings in the village, Robin and what's another small place?
Cradle.
The Cradle. They were there. One of the cottages was here, where Brainerd is. That used to be an ice house. And where the laundry was, that was something else, I forget. At any rate, there were 16 buildings here. And Brother Carl Saylor, very similar to Brother Tom. And we remember when we needed a caretaker and how the Lord provided Tom and Mary. That was an answer to prayer. The caretakers for 2 years were Sister Greatley and Sister Inez. And the Lord provided Tom and Mary, and that was a real answer to prayer. Why, when I think how heavy that was on the trustees at the time, and the Lord just provided Tom and Mary. That's one of the miracles of camp. Another miracle of camp, which I have to, again, was an answer to prayer. The public road, but it's now Route 8, used to be right in front of the lodge right here. The public cars would pass by here, and the kids would be down playing, "Watch out, there's a car coming." And so it was very dangerous. And because of this hairpin curve here, the county decided they had to do something about it. I think there was a very serious accident, actually. And so they made plans that would cut right through our property. And there was nothing we could do about that. That was a county thing, and there was nothing that could be done about that. And fortunately, we had this very wealthy man down adjacent to the village, and he had pull, of course, with money, because it would cut through his property too. And so that was an answer to prayer. Where the Route 8 now goes out and skirts our property, so we're thankful for that. But I would like to say another thing very briefly, and that is the life, it was already alluded to about the leaders that we've experienced, that we've sat under at this place. They had the goods. They had the experience, and I knew the gardeners very well, and they were genuine people. And what a blessing to know them and to know the other leaders. And that's the grace of God in their lives. Most of them, as young people, gave themselves to the Lord. I'm so thankful to see some of the young people now who are related to some of those leaders, and how they have that same spirit. And God, that's something that God alone does, fills with His Spirit and gives us experiences. And so I'm thankful too to be a part of this place, and I trust that this will continue, that God will raise up people to take the wheel, to take hold of things. We need people in His service. Things are changing, society is changing, but God will raise up people to continue this work, and we can all have a part in believing that God will do that.
Number 12. Let's stand as we sing this.
You are faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, tonight for your great, great faithfulness to Pilgrim Camp. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all these years where people have come and have met God. And, Lord, where you have changed lives.
Jesus.
Where salvation has come to various hearts. Where people were called to the ministry. Lord, people were called to the mission.
Jesus.
Lord, thank you for the great work you have accomplished.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord, we pray that not only this year, but Lord, for the future of camp, that you will establish and raise up those, Lord, who will carry this torch forward.
Yes,
Lord, who will take the thought that holiness unto the Lord calls, and Lord, carry it through, make it precious to them, make it precious,
dear Jesus.
Jesus,
yes, Lord.
We'll pass it on to this next generation.
Yes, Lord
Jesus.
Jesus.
All you have done, all you are doing,
Jesus.
And Lord,
Jesus.
What you will do.
Yes.
Lord, we commit camp to
you.
Lord, for as long as you have it here,
Jesus.
We believe God to hold it.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
And Jesus, that you will bless.
Jesus.
And Lord, that the windows of heaven, that the glory of God will always rest upon
Jesus,
you.
Jesus, Jesus, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Amen.